Arriving into the world on July 4th, 1996, Tika Latrez Lewis was characterised as a loving and caring individual. Despite her affectionate nature, she tended to be rather reserved and shy during her infancy and early childhood. Tika shared her formative years with her mother, Teresa English, and four siblings in Tacoma, Washington. Notably, her father, Robert, was incarcerated at the time, serving a four-year sentence for theft. Beyond her immediate family, Tika had limited interactions with her extended family and was notably reserved around them. Teresa, her mother, shared with the Seattle Times that Tika would often cry when her aunts and uncles tried to pick her up. Meeting strangers or individuals she wasn't very familiar with posed a significant challenge for the shy and cautious young girl. Her mother said, quote, "She wouldn't go outside on her own. She's a mama's girl. She sleeps with me and her blankie, and if I'm not there, she's crying, and if she doesn't have her blankie, she's crying." On the evening of January 23rd, 1999, two-year-old Tika enjoyed her time bowling with various family members at the New Frontier Lanes on Center Street in Tacoma, Washington. Given that it was a Saturday night, the alley bustled with activity, and the parking lot was nearly at capacity. The Bowling Alley's League Night, a popular community event held every weekend, drew a considerable crowd. Tika and her family gathered at lanes 7 and 8, situated near the centre of the bowling alley. Whilst her family engaged in the games, Tika freely roamed between the lanes and the arcade area. She indulged in various games, including a coin-operated claw machine with the assistance of her uncle, who helped her win a teddy bear, a gift she generously presented to her baby sister. Throughout the night, Tika used quarters from her purse to enjoy multiple arcade games, savouring her favourite sweets, Starbursts, as she played. Between 10 and 10:15pm, Tika was engrossed in playing a race car video game called Cruisin' World in the arcade section of the bowling alley, mere feet away from her family and the exit. In a momentary lapse, Tika's mother turned away from her daughter for no more than 15 seconds to attend to one of her other children. Upon turning back, she was met with the startling realization that Tika had seemingly vanished into thin air. Initially, Teresa entertained the possibility that Tika was playing hide and seek, but as minutes passed without finding her, panic gripped her. In a frantic effort, Teresa, along with her family, engaged on-duty security and staff members in scouring every corner of the bowling alley. Despite their combined efforts, there was no sign of the two-year-old. The official report of Tika's disappearance was filed at approximately 10:30pm. Police promptly arrived on the scene and conducted a thorough search both inside and outside the premises, yielding no results. While authorities initially considered the notion that Tika may have wandered off, the growing passage of time raised the disturbing possibility that she might have been abducted by unknown individuals. Subsequently, the FBI and the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children joined the intensive search for Tika. Search teams were mobilized both on the ground and in the air to cover wooded areas, open water, and other possible locations. Helicopters equipped with infrared cameras scoured the vicinity, searching for any signs of life. Additionally, authorities enlisted the assistance of search dogs to comb throughout various areas of interest. 3 days after Tika's disappearance, a discovery intensified the investigation. A pile of men's clothing, neatly rolled into a ball, was found concealed under a bush directly across the street from the bowling alley. It was apparent that the clothing had not been there for an extended period, leading authorities to designate them as items of interest in relation to Tika's disappearance. The clothing included a navy blue wool pea coat with the initials IS or JS on the back label, off-white Lee brand jeans, and a Columbia brand button-down plaid shirt. At first, Teresa harboured suspicions towards another woman present at the bowling alley that evening. She vividly remembered this individual asking to hold a relative's baby and exhibiting what she perceived as odd behaviour. Despite Teresa's initial hunch, investigators, upon thorough examination, concluded that the woman was not connected to the potential abduction. Nonetheless, investigators underscored their commitment to scrutinising anyone who was in or around the bowling alley during the time in which Tika disappeared. Eyewitnesses reported the sighting of a maroon-coloured Pontiac Grand Am speeding away from the parking lot of the bowling alley on the night in question. The vehicle was described as potentially a 3 or 4 door model, belonging to the late 80s or early 90s, featuring tinted windows and a conspicuous large spoiler. This information became a critical lead in the investigation, prompting authorities to delve into the details of this distinctive vehicle as they sought to unravel the circumstances surrounding Tika's disappearance. Another witness came forward, reporting the sighting of a Caucasian male, aged in his 30s or 40s, standing at approximately 5 feet 11 inches. The individual had shoulder-length brown hair, a moustache, a prominent nose, and noticeable pockmarks on his face. The witness observed the man hastily following a mixed-race child from the restrooms towards one of the exits of the bowling alley on the night in question. It remains unclear whether this person was directly involved in Tika's disappearance. The police described the man as wearing a checked flannel shirt and faded blue jeans, providing additional details to aid in their investigation. Rather disturbingly, the disappearance of Tika Lewis wasn't the only frightening incident that occurred within the confines of the bowling alley in recent months. 2 months prior to Tika vanishing, in November of 1998, a 4-year-old boy was molested in the bathroom by a man with curly brown hair and a beard, possibly wearing a hat depicting the word Husky on the front, possibly a link to the Huskies team at the nearby University of Washington. According to the alley's security team, they had seen a man who matched the description of the mysterious offender on several other occasions, but they didn't know who he was. In the aftermath of Tika's abduction, a disturbingly similar incident unfolded within just a few weeks. A Caucasian man with brown hair attempted to lure a 6-year-old boy from the same bowling alley, falsely claiming to be the boy's father. Shockingly, just hours before Tika's disappearance, at approximately 2 p.m, two children playing in the nearby Oakland Madrona Park narrowly escaped abduction. A man with curly brown hair wearing a baseball cap tried to take them from the park toilets. Fortunately, their father intervened, chasing the suspect away. He vividly recalled the perperpetrator fleeing in a blue 1995 Pontiac Grand Am vehicle. The attempted abduction was reported to the police 3 days later on January 26th, prompted by the children's father learning about Tika's disappearance. These alarming parallels raised concerns and added complexity to the ongoing investigation. The fate of the man matching the description and his vehicle concerning Tika Lewis's disappearance and the other attempted kidnappings remains unclear, as there is no information indicating whether they were ever found or questioned in connection to these disturbing incidents. The potential relationship between the abductions remains uncertain, although the similarities suggest a possible connection. Unfortunately, the availability and usefulness of CCTV footage in this case are unclear, adding yet another layer of complexity to the investigation. Tika, hated to interact with strangers, which made her abduction all the more bizarre. She was also scared of the dark and never liked to be separated from her mother. How she was lured away by a stranger and unnoticed remains somewhat of a mystery. Several individuals were looked into in regards to having possibly been involved, but police couldn't link any to the girl's disappearance. Given that Tika's father was imprisoned at the time of her disappearance, he was ruled out as a suspect. The same applied to Tika's mother, Teresa, as authorities considered her initial demeanour during interactions with the police. While she initially appeared, quote, calm, it is essential to recognise that people react differently to stress, and Teresa's composure might have been a result of shock. Authorities couldn't discern any motive for Teresa to be involved in such a heinous act against her own flesh and blood, leading to her swift exclusion as a suspect. Teresa further solidified her innocence by passing 2 polygraph tests. In the course of the investigation, the family present at the bowling alley on the night of Tika's disappearance were also questioned by investigators thoroughly. However, all were eventually ruled out as having any involvement in the incident. The search for Tika's abductor continued, with authorities exploring other leads and avenues in their pursuit of justice. Following Tika's disappearance, her family rallied behind the establishment of the Tika Lewis Bill in Washington State. This legislative initiative led to the formation of a Missing and Exploited Children's Task Force, empowering the Washington State Patrol to collaborate with local police in addressing missing child cases. Every year since Tika vanished, her family continued to hold memorials and vigils for her on her birthday and during the holidays. They still hold on to hope that Tika is out there somewhere, but may not know her true identity. To this day, Tika Lewis has never been found, nor her abductor been found or brought to justice. At the time of her disappearance in January of 1999, Tika Lewis was 2 years old, described as being of African American, Caucasian, and Native American origins, specifically Chippewa, standing at 3 feet tall and weighing approximately 35 pounds. Tika has black hair with natural red highlights and brown eyes. She has cheek dimples and some patches of discoloration on her face. She also has pierced ears and a large birthmark and eczema scarring on her left buttock. On the day she vanished, Tika was wearing a green Tweety Bird sweatshirt or t-shirt, a pair of white sweatpants, and a pair of black and white Air Jordan sneakers. She had her hair pulled back into ponytails and was seen carrying a clear purse with a fish design containing Starburst candies. It should be noted that Tika was asthmatic and used an inhaler. She may require medical attention. Lewis had received medical attention shortly prior to her disappearance at the Indian Health Practitioners in Puyallup, Washington, a clinic which specifically treats Native Americans across the US. Due to the circumstances, it's believed that foul play was involved in this particular case. Nobody has ever been arrested or held accountable in regards to Tika's disappearance. On the 25th anniversary of Tika's vanishing on January 23rd, 2024, family and friends held a vigil at the Tacoma Police Department to show support for one another and to bring awareness to the search for her. Despite the time that has passed, Tika has not been forgotten, and her family continue to hope that someday she will be found. An age progression image was created by the National Centre for Missing and Exploited Children in 2013, depicting what Tika may look like at the age of 17, and the most recent age progression was released in 2022, depicting Tika at 26 years old. If she is alive today, in February of 2024, 25 years after her disappearance, Tika Lewis would be 27 years old. If you have any information regarding this case which could be useful to the authorities, you can contact either Tacoma Police Department on 253-798-4721 or the Federal Bureau of Investigation at 202-324-3000.